Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Down the Middle podcast. I am Mike Rhodes, private wealth advisor at UBS in Naples, Florida. I can be reached at 239-277-3616. Today, very excited, joined by a good friend of mine, Kirsten Bucci, who I speak with all the time. She's our equity and options specialist located in our home office out of New York at 1285 Avenue of the Americas. So thank you, Kirsten, for joining.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Kirsten, today, with all the excitement out there, we really want to dive into the impact of artificial intelligence on our world and how our clients should be thinking about it and certainly investing in it. How does that sound?
That's excellent. That's excellent.
I'm sure you don't get a lot of questions about it every day.
It's pretty much the topic of conversation every day. Yes.
Wonderful. Why don't you just kind of start from the top and tell us really where we are as a country and as an industry in the development of this technology?
Artificial intelligence has brought an accelerated rate of finding answers, and it has required an enormous investment in semiconductors so far to fuel that technology. And I think what's exciting about it is we're really just at the beginning of understanding what AI means for individuals, for businesses, for the country as a whole. And I think in the next years, a couple of years, we're going to watch that play out. And I think the other thing to keep in mind is that the rate of change and the acceleration that we're seeing in terms of developments in AI is accelerating at a pace that's very exciting.
I agree. So everybody's excited for really, what does this mean for me? What are the applications, implications, if I'm a business, if I'm an individual? What's this big word I keep hearing about, hyperscalers? Can you really tell us about all of that information?
Sure. So let's start with hyperscalers. Hyperscalers are the large technology companies. We often refer to them as the Big Six or Magnificent Seven. And they are very large technology companies that invest in, for the most part, invest in semiconductors and other technologies like that. They're household names. They're companies that you would definitely recognize. And it is their spending, their CapEx, that is fueling the development of AI.
Wonderful. And once they're built up, where do you see the applications going?
So I think that's the really exciting part. I think a lot of people are familiar with the search engine, ChatGPT, right? That's fairly commonplace now. And a lot of people have it on their phones and they access it. So instead of, we used to ask Google a question and get a whole list of answers and you sort through it, right? Now ChatGPT, you ask a question and you get one answer. And it integrates all that information together. And I think what is exciting is that the more AI gets adopted and the more applications and the more software that becomes available, there are so many places where it can be used, right? So that's how it's used right now for individuals. But you can envision how a corporation, if you work in a corporation and you can outsource some of the daily, more mundane tasks to AI, and then that frees up your employees to do more exciting, more intellectual, newer things. And so the hope is that over time, as this technology gets integrated, it improves productivity broadly throughout the country.
I love that. A lot more efficiency.
Yes, exactly.
So very recently, we have learned all about the revelations of DeepSeek, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming. How do you see this changing the outlook, if anything, for artificial intelligence?
I think that's exactly right. A lot of people didn't see it coming. For that reason, it had quite an impact earlier in the week. And so I think that it changes the world a little bit because the thinking was these AI models had to be piloted or powered by the very highest end chips. And what DeepSeek was able to do essentially was reach a very similar endpoint, a very similar conclusion using lower powered chips, which at a much lower cost. And so they also made that model, their AI model, open source, meaning it's available to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so that happened much more quickly than I think people were expecting.
Just real quickly, what's the difference between open source and closed source?
So open source means that anybody can access it. You, me, your neighbor, literally anybody. Whereas a closed source means you need access to it. So you have to pay a fee to get it in order to use it.
Got it. Thank you for the clarification. Now, from an investment standpoint, how does UBS Chief Investment Office look at artificial intelligence? What's next for it? And what's our approach on an investor standpoint?
Yeah, CIO has so many reports that are interesting and excellent, but this is one of my favorites. They break out the AI market opportunity in a very sort of digestible way, and it's three separate pieces. The first is the enabling layer. Think of that as semiconductors, the hardware. The second piece, or the middle piece, is the intelligence layer, and that's what's referred to as LLMs, large language models. And then the
third— We hear that term a lot.
Yes, you too, and we're going to hear it more and more. And then the third piece, the last piece, is called the application layer. And that's software. Think apps and AI being integrated into daily life.
Which I can't wait for. It's going to be very exciting. How does UBS really see this transition from hardware to software happening? And talk a little bit about also the data center component.
As the hardware gets built out, it requires more and more data to be analyzed. And that's what we need the data centers for, to store that data so that these models can analyze it. And then once the hardware is built out, that's when we start to move to software. And just to circle back on your question about DeepSeek, part of what's interesting about that is it's a little bit cheaper and it's more broadly available. It potentially accelerates the adoption of AI and sort of democratizes that adoption, which potentially accelerates the move to software. And I think that's very exciting.
It is. Thank you. Well, I've also heard that as we go more and more towards artificial intelligence compute, that it takes an awful lot of power. Can you touch upon the implications for the energy markets and our aging electric grid in this country and how we're going to handle this need?
That is an excellent question. Yes, our electric grid is a little bit old to start with, which makes it vulnerable to weather, cybersecurity, those sorts of incidents. And then when you layer on top of that, the power demand that's required, not just from population growth, but from these data centers where we need to store the data to power the AI, it's an enormous amount of power demand and it far exceeds our supply. And so investing in the development and the build out and the upgrade of that grid, I think is a key investment theme. And then I also think within that, there are certain segments of energy, I particularly like natural gas, that will fuel that energy demand.
We've also seen some ups and downs recently, especially with Jensen Huang's comments in quantum computing.
Yes.
What are our thoughts about that?
Yeah, so CIO has another really excellent, and CIO is the Chief Investment Office. We like our acronyms at UBS, and has an excellent report on quantum computing. And essentially, right now, quantum computing isn't ready for mass use, and that's largely because its error rate is too high, but it is on the frontier. The best way to think about it is that it moves even faster than AI. It can solve problems even faster. Yeah.
So a superpowered AI, artificial intelligence.
Right, exactly.
Let's get comfortable with artificial intelligence first, hopefully.
We've got some time.
Well, Kirsten, this was very educational. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to spend with our listeners. And anybody that'd like to get more detail on the conversation, I'm happy to assist with that. So have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.